before we move on, as I am understanding that, something that we here on the board need to decide is, first and foremost, whether we participate or not, is this project going to go forward? And if it goes forward without our participation, what's the impact?
That was my question, is what happens if we don't participate? Can they go forward without us? And if they can, then we may want to participate just simply so we have a voice.
Yeah. Good question.
Is that it?
May I address that?
Sure. Yes, please.
Again, I'm Dory Klein. Just before answering this most recent question, one thing I forgot to mention, and I think it's very important because I did receive a letter that you all have from Camden stating the date of October 13th for your reply. Well,
it's a requested. It says a response by October 13th would be appreciated.
Be appreciated.
It's
okay.
Not a drop dead.
Okay. And thank you for pointing that out. But what I wanted to mention before, and I apologize for neglecting to mention this earlier, that in an effort toward outreach, what one of our members, Ken Gross, who is the program director for the Camden Public Library, has offered is that he has scheduled Tuesday, October 5th, for a presentation from 6:30 until 8, I believe, at the Camden Public Library to allow the representative from Island Institute and Rick Knowlton, one of our people from the Energy Committee in Camden, to speak to educate the public from their point of view. And then as a second to that, he has scheduled Thursday, October 14th, to have Jonathan Carter from the Forest Ecology Network, who's Mr. Environmental of all of Maine, to speak also from 6:30 till 8, but that would be on Thursday, October 14th. So in terms of that October 13th date, which is not a firm deadline, I would encourage you, at least for the reason that we are wanting to educate the public and have already scheduled this, Camden is very well aware of both of these dates, to wait until after the 14th so that at least both sides of the issue can be freely and openly discussed at the Camden Public Library. And then, may I please have that question again?
If we decide to not participate, can Camden go ahead and do it without us?
And I would like to address that with news that I just learned today from speaking with Scott Dickerson, who is the head of the Coastal Mountain Lands Trust. He showed me a map, and I have 5 copies, but I don't have 6 copies for you this evening, or 7 copies. And it shows the Coastal Mountain Land Trust property, the Rockport property, Camden property, private property, etc. And from what he was able to show me on the map, because of what they own up there already, and they've clearly stated that their land is not going to be used for anything in terms of wind power, what it looks like at this point in time is that closer to Gillette Road, given the authority or permission to go across from some private oak land, there would be room for 2 turbines on Camden property. Separate from that, because it wouldn't be accessible by the same road, much closer toward the top of the Snowball property, there would be room for a third one. So there's room for 2 here and 1 over here, but they couldn't be connected. So that is the latest and greatest I heard from Scott Dickerson today. So in answer to the question, could Camden go ahead? Technically, in terms of land, it could be 2 on Camden land, maybe 3 on Camden land, but absolutely for those 2 at the northern end by Gillette Road, Hope property would probably be involved. Although, as Mr. Lopez said, this is a bigger issue. It doesn't matter that this microphone is sitting right here because of the effect of the watershed with the blasting, the effect with the road, the drainage issues, the effect on the wildlife, the effect on sound. The sound is certainly going to carry. It doesn't matter that the turbine is located here if your house is right beside it.
The question, though, is, can Camden go ahead even if Hope and Rockport decide we're not going to participate in this group, can Camden still go ahead and make all the decisions with the people that they appoint?
I think we need to ask.
Yes, they can.
Okay.
So, are you suggesting that
that's a rock and a hard place that people find themselves in. Yeah, I think Camden can go ahead. There's nothing to stop Camden from forming its own Ragged Mountain Wind Power group to go up and I suspect the checks for $50,000 to $75,000 have already been prepared. Get that money and go ahead. So I think it's probably better to participate in the process than to be shut out of the process.
That's
my opinion.
Could I suggest that for the moment, ask Ted and Richard to continue to go to those meetings, because they have been going. I know Richard's been going too for quite a while. And Richard does know something about this. Until we can make a decision about, after we, some of us have gone to these meetings and found out more about it. There's so many carts before the horse here.
Well, tonight's comment by the chair of the Energy Committee was quite revealing when he said, well, I don't see how we can go forward if we have people that from Camden that are against wind turbines on Ragged Mountain. And you sit there and you think, I'm watching this process in the way Mr. Lopez just described it. When you talk to the Camden Select Board, they're sincere. They say, we can't do anything. The citizens of Camden will have to vote to put these wind turbines in. The trouble is, as we all know with voter elections and turnout and this sort of thing, you get a very militant group of people out there that all believe wind turbines are great, and hell, I live 3-4 miles from them, I'm not even going to see them. We wake up one day, and there are 200-foot-long trucks and dynamite heading up our driveway. I mean, or your driveway, or Tim's driveway. I mean, this is what is, nobody knows, and the Trump, and what Mr. Lopez said is absolutely true. This happens in a cloud, and one day, gee, it's approved. And then what? Trucks start showing up. Well, who owns them? We don't know.
Imagine if they turn down a cell phone tower that they're going to allow 500 foot tall.
You know, you would like to believe that. But cell phone towers don't have quite the romance of green attached to them that sustainable wind does. By the way, that cell phone tower we have on Ragged Mountain is 160 feet tall.
160 feet tall,
that is. And they're going to be 2.5 times the height of that. You can see the ones from Vinylhaven if you go up on the front road.
Off of Sea Life, Doug Linder told me he can hear them. On his back, you can hear those violins 24 hours a day.
Okay. All right.
Can I make one more comment?
Oh,